Chapter 9. The Storming of Gamala. At last John made sure that all his followers must have taken up a favorable position. Rising to his feet, he sounded a short note on his horn, then sprang forward and seized one of the blazing brands and applied it to a tent. The canvas, dried by the scorching sun, lit in an instant, and as the flames leaped up, John ran further among the tents, lighted another, and leaving the brand there, sprang 20 yards away and then threw himself down. By this time, although not 20 seconds had elapsed since he had given the signal, a sudden uproar had succeeded the stillness which had reigned in the camp. The sentries had started on their posts as they heard the note of the horn, but had stood a moment irresolute, not knowing what it meant. Then, as the first flash of flame shot up, a simultaneous shout had arisen from every man on guard, rising louder and louder as the first flame was followed almost instantly by a score of others in different parts of the camp. It was but a few seconds later that the first trumpeter who rushed from his tent blew the alarm. Before its notes ceased, it was answered all over the camp, and with a start the sleeping soldiers sprang up, caught up their arms, and rushed out of their tents. Startled as they were with the suddenness of the awakening and the sight of the blazing tents, there was none of that confusion that would have occurred among troops less inured to warfare. Each man did his duty, and buckling on their arms as best they might, stumbling over the tent ropes in the darkness, amazed by the sound of the fall of tents here and there, expecting every moment to be attacked by their unseen foe, the troops made their way speedily to the wide streets, and there fell in together in military array, and waited for orders. These were not long in coming. As soon as the generals reached the spot, they told off a number of men to endeavor to extinguish the flames, sent other parties to scour the camp and search for the enemy, while the rest, in solid order, awaited any attack that might be made upon them. But short as was the time that had elapsed since the first alarm, it had sufficed to give the flames such hold and power that they were beyond control. With extraordinary rapidity the fire had leaped from tent to tent and threatened to overwhelm the whole camp. The soldiers tried in vain to arrest the progress of the flames, rushing among the blazing tents, cutting the ropes to bring them to the ground, and trying to beat out the masses of fire as they fell. Many were terribly burned in their endeavors, but in vain, and the officers soon called them off and set them to work pulling down the tents which the fire had not yet reached. But even this was useless. The flakes of fire, driven before the wind, fell on the heaps of dried canvas, and the flames spread almost as rapidly as they had done when the tents were standing. Nor were the parties in search of the incendiaries more successful. John had lain quiet where he threw himself down for a minute or two, by which time the tents had emptied of their occupants. Then, pausing only occasionally to circle a tent and cut away its ropes, he made his way to the edge of the camp. By this time the sheet of flame had extended well nigh across the camp, extending high above it and lighting it almost as if by day. But between him and the fire lay still a dark mass of tents, for the wind was blowing in the opposite direction, and light as it was elsewhere, in the black shadow of the tents, it was still dark in the extreme. John made his way along until he came to the end of the next street and then paused. Already 3 or 4 active figures had run past him at the top of their speed, and he wished to be the last to retreat. He stayed till he heard the tramp of troops coming down, driven out by the spreading flames, and then sprang across the end of the road and dashed along at full speed, still keeping close to the line of tents. A shout which rose from the leading files of the Roman column showed that he was seen. As he neared the end of the next opening, the Roman soldiers were pouring out, and he turned in among the tents again. Through these he made his way, dashing across the open spaces, and once rushing through the midst of a Roman column, through which he passed before the troops had time to strike at or seize him. At last he reached the extremity of the camp. The slope down to the river was but 50 yards away, and once over the brow he would be in darkness and safe from pursuit. But already the Romans had drawn up a column of men along the edge of the plateau to cut off any who might try to pass. John paused among the last row of the tents, hesitating what course to adopt. He could not make directly up the mountain, for the space between it and the camp was now covered by the Roman cavalry, the greater portion of their infantry being still engaged in trying to save at least some portion of the camp. Suddenly he heard a footstep among the tents close behind him. He drew back into the tent by which he was standing and peered cautiously out. A Roman soldier came hastily along and entered the next tent, doubtless to fetch some article of value which he had left behind him as he rushed out on the first alarm. A sudden idea flashed across John's brain. He waited till the soldier came out, followed him with silent steps, and then sprang upon him at a bound, hurling him to the ground, and burying his knife again and again in his body. Not a cry had escaped from the Roman. The instant he was sure he was dead, John rose to his feet, placed the helmet of the fallen man on his head, secured the breastplate by a single buckle round his neck, took up his buckler and sword, and then, emerging from one of the tents, ran toward the Roman line, making for one of the narrow openings between the different companies. Several other soldiers who had, like the man whom John had killed, gone back to their tents to fetch armor or arms left there, were also hurrying to take their places in the ranks. Therefore, no special attention was paid to John until he was within a few yards of the opening. Then a centurion, at the end of the line, said sternly, "You will be punished tomorrow for not being in your place. What is your name?" For as John was between him and the sheet of flame rising from the camp, the Roman was unable to see his face. Instead of halting as he expected, John sprang past him, and throwing down his helmet and buckler, dashed through the space between the companions. "Seize him! Cut him down!" the centurion shouted, but John was already descending the slope. As he ran, he swung the loosely buckled breastplate round on to his back, and it was well he did so, for a moment later a Roman javelin rang against it, the force of the blow almost throwing him on his face. But in a moment he continued his course. He was in